accustom to switching hats. Amen. Miss Rose, she knows. And Brother Mark, they've been with us all along, and I don't mind. Matter of fact, multitasking. If I'm not multitasking, I feel like I'm wasting time. You know, it just feels like I should be doing one or two other things while I'm doing this one thing. Anybody like that? Okay. So it was really born out of necessity years ago, but now it just feels like something's missing. Sort of like leaving home without your wallet. You know, you just feel like you're naked. You know, the emperor has no clothes. You're naked. Where's your wallet? You got to have your wallet. Now, my daddy, it would be he doesn't have his pocket knife. And if he doesn't have his pocket knife, man, he's half a man the way he sees it. You know, he's got to have that pocket knife. Well, of course, tomorrow is, guess what? Labor Day. I guess you figured it out with a long weekend. Genesis chapter 2, if you would, please. Genesis chapter 2. Of course, the national holiday, it's a good thing that we do in honoring the labor. If you like fire, how many of you like fire in the belly? I like fire in the belly. You know, I like good war shows and stuff like that. I mean, I like the good guys winning and the bad guys always losing, but it gets real close, you know, a little bit along the plot. But I like the good guys winning. I like the good guys getting the girl at the end. That's what kind of shows I like. You know, I guarantee you, I love those things. And if you like fire in the belly, you have to admire a man a little bit known, just a little bit known, by the name of Theodore Roosevelt. Just a little known. But this is what he said about work. Quote, "Far and away, the best prize that life offers is the chance to work hard at work worth doing." That's not bad. That's really not bad. Can I give it to you again? Some of you are a little on the lazy side. You could probably use a little bit of this. Far and away, the best prize that life offers is the chance to work hard at work worth doing. Amen. That's pretty good. Now, I admit, it misses the mark of God just a little dab, you know, just a little bit. But it's worth noting. That's a pretty good quote. That's a pretty good quote. Now, something for you ladies. I picked on you the other day talking about the makeup, how they went kind of dull and pretty and then shiny and pretty and back to dull and pretty, you know, with makeup. Here's one for all of you you ladies. Helena Rubinstein, and if you don't know, she's the founder of a very high-end cosmetic and makeup line and company. Very, very successful. But she said this, quote, "Hard work," you're going to like this. You ladies are going to really, you listening? Are you listening? Say amen, ladies. You listen? Okay, here we go. "Hard work keeps the wrinkles out of the mind and spirit." Now, you thought I was going to talk about the skin, didn't you? Well, I have a little bit of sense and enough not to go there. But frankly, I like a woman these days with little crow's feet. You know what I'm saying? I say, you know what I'm saying? But this is pretty good. Let me give you that one again. "Hard work keeps the wrinkles out of the mind and spirit." Now, I'd hate to have to rate both of these quotes, but if I were going to rate both of those quotes, I'd have to give her the nudge. All right, you with me? It has more to offer than what you might think of at first glance, especially when you consider our text of the day. In Genesis chapter 2, you say, why ain't that going with that? Well, just hold your horses and I'll get there. Genesis 2, could I offer you kind of a statement or maybe like a thesis statement for this text and for our lesson today? Can I do that? I won't do it if you don't want me to. I won't, you know. Let me give it to you. I'm going to give it to you anyway, whether you really want it to or not. Proper rest, work, worship, enjoyment with a proper understanding of our divine connection with God is the best and most productive life. Now, I know we have a lot of thinkers, so let me give that one to you again. Let you chew on it a little bit. I think I got it out of order, so let me, dyslexia, you know. Proper work, rest, worship, and enjoyment with a proper understanding of our divine connection of our to our God is the best and most productive life. Now, you could say, oh, me, because it's original. I wrote it, you know, so it is original. Well, let's see if we can get through some of this pronunciation in chapter 2 of Genesis. If Moses wrote it, we ought to be able to give it a stab. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man, boy, that's a message right there. There was not a man to do what? Go on vacation? No, sorry. Not a man to till the ground. Now, in case you haven't done that in a few years, that's work. That's work, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Not a man to till the ground. Verse 6. And there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is, now get this, every tree that is pleasant to the sight. In other words, God makes everything beautiful, see? And good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first was Pison, that is it which encompasseth the whole land of Havilah where there is gold. Somebody says, gold? Oh, you got my attention. Gold. Okay. And the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, which that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. You recognize that river. And the Lord God took the man and put him, now pay attention, we're going to come back to this, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now let me just stop there long enough. Does God have every right to command man whom he created? If you created something, don't you think you would have the right to command it? All right. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Now, we like that. I do. I know. I do. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam. Now, God could have named them, but he gave that responsibility and privilege to Adam. And he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Orangutan, you can blame that one on Adam. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he, God made he a woman, and brought her, the woman, unto the man. You will notice in the text there's only two. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and that's talking about the family life. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, let's take a little note here that God Himself sets the standard of work. And mankind is a part, not all, but is a part of the work of God. Matter of fact, I would offer the pinnacle of the work of God. The pinnacle of the work of God. Man and then, of course, woman. And I think God had to do a better job the second time around, you know. I think He did. Now, I would maintain that we draw all that we should be doing from God. And God sets a pattern, a healthy pattern, for all of us pertaining to this issue of work and the character of that work that goes behind the work. In other words, the hustle behind the muscle, the man behind the muscle, the woman behind the muscle. It is from God that we draw our strength. It is from God we draw our character. It's from God we draw even the very breath of life that we have to be able to muster up the energy to go do anything, right? Without me, the Lord said, you can do nothing. In this life, and of course, the blessings of the life to come. Now, we know from the text that God created, then He rested, right? God created, then He rested. And He enjoyed His creation. Stay with me now. He enjoyed His, you can sleep Labor Day. He enjoyed His creation saying, it was good. Matter of fact, He said, it is very good. So does God enjoy nice things and nice people? Yes. Yes, He does. Well, you might say, well, do you have any proof of that? I'm so glad you asked that. Let's look just back one chapter in chapter 1. We don't have any further to go. In verse 31 of chapter 1 of Genesis. And the Bible says, now listen, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was, say it, very good. Very good. So again, God worked, God rested, God enjoyed His creation. You with me? He enjoyed His creation. God was pleased with His creative work. Now, we can't follow this in a perfect way because God spoke and it was. Now, I kind of wish sometimes I could do that. Just speak. Yard, be mowed. Poof, it's done. Yard, be edged. Poof, it's done. God, blow it dry. And He just, whew, and I just, and my wife comes out and said, man, that didn't take you long at all. And I said, no, it didn't, did it? I did good today. See that edging? Man, that's a perfect job. You know, work out pretty good. God was pleased with this work. Now, the reason I say that is some Christians seem to say, or at least suggest, by their words and their actions, that it doesn't matter how an individual lives their life. Live and let live. Do whatever you want to do. Que sera, sera. If you want to raise hell, go do that. If you want to do that, just go do that. It really just doesn't matter how you live your life. And that's pretty much the sentiment of today's population. Would you agree with that? It's whatever you want to do, just do not yourself. You know, whatever makes you happy, just go do that. They maintain it doesn't matter how we do our work. But I believe anyone, and hopefully you as well, but I believe anyone who strives to find their life information, another way of saying that would be your worldview. What you think, your personal philosophy about life, your authority, where do you see your ultimate authority coming from? And if you're one of those like me that happens to find all of that in the everlasting book of God, I think those who maintain life, just it doesn't matter how you live, are going to be more pressed than a skinny turkey on Thanksgiving Day. And I think, really, they're going to have to look at those feathers, and they're going to need to be plucked. So if you came here today thinking it doesn't matter how I live my life, I want you to know when you bite down on that come Thanksgiving Day, that skinny turkey, you're going to wish there was more meat on the bone. Okay, you with me? All right. The vocation of the true Christian. And the vocation of the true Christian is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. So the vocation of the true Christian is the greatest work on earth, and no civilization will go round and round and round without the work of its people. You let everybody decide just take a permanent vacation and the world will basically stop from all productivity. God's not going to do everything for you. Is that a surprise? He didn't do everything even for Adam right here in the scripture. He provided a great, wonderful start, but he didn't do everything that's provided. Adam had to kick in. Amen? Adam had to kick in. So let's see what God here prescribes for us as we face yet another Labor Day. All right, we're talking about labor. We're talking about that old word, four-letter word, but it's not a dirty word. It's a good word. It's called work. Work. W-O-R-C. Work. Well, I say things like that just to see if you are paying attention. I could say I text things like that to see if you're paying attention, but that's only half of the truth. That's normally when I just trust that lady in that phone. I don't know how she fits in that phone, but I just trust her to send it out. And more often than not, I send it out without these. And that's probably not the best of practices. But I don't like wearing these, so I just pray for grace and forgiveness for all of God's people that love me here, you know. That's the way to go with it. Run with it, you know. But here, God prescribes some things, number one. And he prescribes that you and I, that mankind understands our connection with the Creator. Now look up here. You are not a mistake. You're not just something. You're something special. And you have a divine connection with the Creator God. And that connection is very, very special. It's much more important and much more special than the spotted owl or the whale or a tanker bleeding oil out in the eastern sea. It's you. It's mankind. Mankind. And I know we have a world today that's so much concerned, it's so much more concerned, it seems, about anything else other than human beings, including babies. I said, including babies. But I'm telling you, if we're going to get this thing right and we're going to have the proper worldview, we have to see that we are, as human beings, we have a divine connection with the Almighty God and the Creator. And yes, that means you. You say, well, preacher, you just don't know how strange I am. Well, I could take a pretty wild guess, but it really wouldn't matter because you still have this divine connection with Almighty God. I like what one man said. It says, the same omnipotent, that's all-powerful hand that made Adam still held him. The hand that made him still held him. We went on to say, Adam was formed by God in the image of God, higher than the animal and plant world, and he, mankind, was to have the dominion of all of that. Of all of that. If you're hungry, eat the fish. If you're really hungry, eat the cow. Eat the cow. Amen. Eat the cow. Now, if you can grow vegetables, wonderful. If you can't, God bless you and eat the cow. Mankind is to have dominion. Dominion. Dogs and cats are not supposed to rule this earth. Owls are not supposed to rule this earth and have dominion over mankind. Men, mankind is supposed to have that dominion over all of this other. Tilling the ground. All at the same time, understanding that he is an extension of God. For it is God who created him, and it is his God who commands him, and also watches over him. That's our command. That's our connection with Almighty God. Look at verse 7 of chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust, of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there, now pay attention, he put the man whom he had formed. So God put the man whom he had formed in the garden. Now drop down to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden. You say, well, that's the exact same thing. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'll explain that in just a minute. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. It's like bluebell. Eat all you want, sell the rest. Eat all that you want. You may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So we know that horticulture or gardening was the first type of employment that we find in the Bible. It's the first thing, of course, that it's alluded to here. Now, you will notice if you are astute. If you did not notice this, you're probably not one of the astute. But you will notice if you are one of the astute that there are two times the word put is given. P-U-T. The Lord God put. Yet they're very different Hebrew words. Very different Hebrew words that are given. The first use, of course, is the first one that I mentioned there in verse 8, is the one that we would be kind of more commonly acquainted with. God simply put Adam in the garden. God left him there to till the ground, to work the land, provisions that God has made. The second one is quite a bit different. And it means to be put there for rest, safety, work, and dedication to the things that have been bestowed upon him by God. Quite a bit more. Much heavier lifting to get your arms and minds around this one, but it's really good. One writer says, God put man in the garden where he could be safe and rest. Say rest. Yes, rest. And where he could have fellowship with God. And Adam's primary responsibility there was to worship and obey God rather than cultivate and keep the garden. Wow, that's a little bit different. Adam served, thereby worshiped God by tending the garden, and work is essential, a good gift of God. Work is not a, get this now, work is not a punishment for sin. Did you know that? A lot of people wrongfully think, well, I got to go to work tomorrow because I'm a sinner. Well, wait a minute. This is before Adam fell to sin. And he's working. But he's working. He's resting. He's enjoying his work. Come on. He's walking and talking with the Lord. He's worshiping Almighty God. He's being all that God who created him wants him to be. And that's by God's design. So the Hebrew word here means to rest, to enjoy, to settle down, to give comfort, to withdraw, as in to kind of go to a place of rest, refuge, or to have. The same word is used in Genesis chapter 8, verse 4, when the Bible says, and the ark rested in the seventh month. It's talking about Noah's ark. And the ark rested. The ark was put by God. The ark was designed by God to have its rest after the worldwide flood. And it certainly did. And it rested in the seventh month. On the mountains, of course, as you see in that particular verse, on the mountains of Ararat. Now, contrary to great public opinion, which can be honestly trusted just about as much as a politician's promises these times of year, God did not make work a curse of sin. God did not make work a curse of sin. Work is not a punishment on human beings because of their sin. Work, nuance this now, work was made more difficult. Work was made less productive because of the curse of sin. But work itself is not evil. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. It's good. It's healthy. So much so that an old mean apostle over in the New Testament told those loafers, he said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the God of the book, and you don't believe all things that are good, because everything that's good comes from Him. So you have had your mind warped by that little girl over there from the East Coast. You'll figure it out in a minute. God's original design was work, productive activity, rest, worship, peaceful fellowship, enjoyment from God, and it, get this now, and enjoyment from the labor of your minds, and enjoyment from the labor of your hands, all considering that all of that is the blessings of Almighty God. How about that? Well, that's a little bit different in a worldview than what we have going around these days. One writer offered, quote, man's life in the world involves two basic poles, work and rest. The creation mandate to work is clear. Adam was given dominion so as to be fruitful and fill the earth. God put the man in the garden to work it and to keep it. Man's calling to rest begins by imitating God's own Sabbath, God's rest, when on the seventh day the Lord rested from all of His work. He goes on to say the first chapters of Genesis are important for Christians for many reasons. Genesis 1:2 tells us that what God originally intended for us, His creatures. Chapter 3 is vital in telling us what went wrong in the world. Sin took place. In short, the world has been cursed by the fall of Adam into sin. Interestingly, Adam's sin involved a failure in his work. Adam's sin involved a failure in his work. What causes a failure in our relationships? The failure of our work. The failure of our marriages. The failure of our work. The failure of our job. The failure. See a common thread? Called to exercise dominion over the other creatures, he instead permitted himself and Eve to be ruled by a crafty serpent, the devil. And just as a wrong standing with God corrupts every facet of human existence through the fall of man to sin, so Adam's fall led to the perversion of both work and leisure. Let's see. Not bad. Every day when you wake up and you rise from your bed, you should be reminding yourselves, we should be reminding ourselves that God is our God. He owns this day. He put us there. He commands, we lead. He holds us accountable, and this should be for our joy and rest in the blessings of Almighty God. Think that would change your attitude about the day? I bet it would. I said, I bet it would. And I'm not even a betting man, but I would bet it would. Let me give you a psalm. It's a wonderful psalm that reflects a lot of these truths. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand, your own hand. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. See, having that proper relationship and working and understanding the rest and enjoyment and the labor of your hands thrown in, all of that considered to be the blessing of God as you continue to grow and worship Him and walk with Him, that is all that it means to be blessed. To be blessed. So, that's the first thing God prescribes here. Number two, dressing it. Now, that's a little bit more than putting some ranch dressing on your salads. It means developing the ground, tilling the ground, maintaining the garden to see it's at its best for productivity. It's at its best for productivity. Now we know that God gives the fruit, but we've got to do the work to till the ground. We've got to be co-laborers with the Lord our God. It also means using and developing your mind. I've told you before, Christianity doesn't call you to check your brain at the door. Christianity doesn't call you to check your reasoning at the door. Come, let us reason together. Christianity doesn't do that. I enjoyed an article. Matter of fact, I'm going to share it tonight. And this man, you'll like this, Brother Houston especially, you'll like this. He calls himself the Old Western Man. And tonight I intend to share that with you and expound on this thought. And he says, and he was became a vine keeper, a vines dresser, okay, with grapes, keeping grapes in vines. And he says, in the article is the things I learned from vine dressing. The things I, you know, you can learn a lot from a lot of things. And he learned, and it's good. It's good. I promise you, I'll try to give you that tonight. Things I learned from vine dressing. Verse 15 says, "And the Lord God took the man, put him into the garden of Eden to dress it." To dress it. Verse 19 says, "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he, Adam, would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names." This is intellectual work, right? It's intellectual work. "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." Now to address it. One writer said, "The plants of nature left to their own course may degenerate and become wild through poverty of the soil in which they alight, and the gradual exhaustion of the once rich soul. The hand of rational man." Was Adam a rational man? Come on. Was Adam a thinking man? He couldn't name all the animals if he wasn't a thinking man. He was the greatest man there ever was. Other than the Lord Jesus. Listen, the sin disrupted all that good that could come. Adam was the finest man apart from the Lord who ever lived. He was created in perfection by Almighty God. "So the hand of rational man, therefore, has its appropriate sphere in preparing and enriching the soil, tilling the ground." No man to till the ground. "And in distributing the seeds and training the shoots in the way most favorable." Brother Daniel was all over this morning. "Most favorable for the full development of the plant and especially of its seed and fruits." And this dressing was needed even in the garden. The dressing of it. Now, of course, my mind took off to John chapter 15. Very familiar text in John chapter 15 where our Lord reminds that us all that He is the husbandman. He is the dresser. He's the one that takes care of the garden of our lives. Another word for land worker or farmer, like a vine dresser. When He says in chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 of John, "I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So this goes to the point that Adam was put in the garden before the fall to dress the garden, to take care, to make it even more productive. How about that? God also put man in the garden so he could be safe and rest, where he could have fellowship with God. God came and walked with him in the cool of the, you know the story. Walked with him in the cool of the day. Had fellowship with him. Adam worshiped him. And his primary responsibility there was worship and obey God rather than cultivate the garden. Though that was his responsibility as well. Now, your responsibility in your work is not your first priority. Your first responsibility in your work is to till the ground God would have you till. Now, you still need to have beans and blanket. God knows full well that you need those things. And He'll take care of those things if you'll put Him first in your life. Matter of fact, you'll do better with the second half if you do put God first, because God will bless you because of your faith in obeying His word. So Adam served and therefore loved the Lord there in the garden as he was tending to the garden. Work is essential, and it is a good gift from God. I asked my dad years ago, who's now very much disabled with Parkinson's, would you give up all of those years that you know have had been disabled, would you give up all those years to go back to the hot, hot woods of the pulpwooders, the tractors, before air conditioning, all of that stuff back in the woods, hot, dirty, hard work. Would you give all of that stuff up and willingly go right back to the hot woods and go back to work? And he said, in a minute. In a minute. That's a man who learned the value of being able to just, being able to have the strength to get up and go to work. Work. Adam was placed there by God for productive work, creative work, joyful work, physical exercise, rest, enjoyment, worship, and personal fulfillment. Everything that he needed. Sin blew that, of course. And the third thing we see God prescribed is for Adam to keep it. That's a little bit different than dressing it. Keeping it is more along the lines of protecting it. Protecting what's already there. Protecting what is there. In verse 15, you see, even to dress it and to keep it. Now, I don't know. Perhaps the horses were eating all the watermelons. I knew we had horses back home, and the horses seemed to love watermelons. And if you let the horses into the watermelon patch, you're not going to have any watermelons left at the end of the day. They'll eat. Listen, they first will stomp it, break the heart open, eat the heart. That's what I would do anyway. We got some horse sense anyway, right? And horses may finish up all the watermelons and start towards your cantaloupe, this Rayleigh cantaloupes, which are the best. That's the kind we grow out here in the preacher's patch. And you say, man alive, I'm going to have to do something about those horses. Those horses just can't seem to stay out of the watermelon patch. Horses can't seem to stay out of the cantaloupe. That's what it means to keep a garden, to keep the work. It is not enough to plant the seed. You have to work the ground, plant the seed, dress the vines, and keep it all up. I'll talk more about that in this writing from this old Western man, as you'll see. Let me just say this and I'll move on to number four. Much of life is the work of protecting all that is good. Much of life is work, our work, protecting what is good. And if all that's been well said, all that evil has to do to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Number four, freely eat of the good. It's what God prescribes for you. Freely eat of the good. Enjoy the good. Freely eat and enjoy that which comes from God and your work. How about that? From your work. Now somebody will say, don't get me started. Don't get me started. Okay. But don't get me started in where this leads in a political philosophy. But let me tell you what it ain't. It's not communism. It's not socialism. It's not fascism. Where do you think our founding fathers got the idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? By the way, that means pursuit of enjoyment of personal, private property. Do your homework. You'll find out what I just said. Pursuit of personal enjoyment of personal property, enjoying the fruit of your own hands. How about that? What a concept. Where do they get this idea? Where do you think they got the idea that while this is going on, also known as capitalism, it has to be tempered with a sober understanding that we are connected to an almighty God who sees all things. And if we go rogue, we get ugly, we get nasty with our fellow man or our fellow woman or children, there's a God above and he will have the last say. You may not like it very much if you stop realizing and acting as if you're accountable to this Creator God. Amen. Look at verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying in chapter 2, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now this garden had all of the beautiful plants and flowers and trees, every good fruit, all that's good, and top all of that off with a great woman. Beautiful, lovely, a helpmeet out of man, given by God. Her name was Eve. They together would enjoy all that God had given them, and all their hands could cultivate, all their minds could work to develop, improve, and to give the love of God for one another and freely give to one another in the relationship of holy matrimony which God Himself ordained in the garden. All that that's supposed to be. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I do. Let me go right down to what is mentioned here, that they shall be one flesh. Somebody says, well, can you talk about that in church? God does, so I guess I will. Sarah, Brother Houston, in her elder life, when she was told by the Lord's servants that she would have a child in her older years, she said in Genesis 18:12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? You say enjoyment between a husband and a wife is ordained by God? Didn't I just say that? Didn't I just say that? Does God ordain that to be a place of sobriety? That God has ordained that place to be a place of a husband and a wife's enjoyment with one another? Of course. Of course. Well, let me just say it to you this way. Maybe you have better understand it. God is no party pooper. All right? God is all about the proper life and living. And He's ready to reign on all the good. By the way, He's the author of every good and every perfect thing. And nothing good will come to you apart from His loving hand. And number 5, and I'll be done. Say amen. God prescribed that we be disciplined to deny ourselves the bad. Now, how many of you elder men and women here would say, today there seems to be a lot more bad around than there used to be? Okay? I mean, you don't even have to go looking for it. It comes looking for you. You know what I mean? I mean, it just seems to come at you every single day of your life. And you say, man, life, where could I have rest? Heaven. Heaven. Deny the bad. Adam, deny the bad. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. We know that Eve took of this and gave it to her husband Adam. They both ate, and because Adam took it, all of mankind was cast into this world we call sinners. That's where it all come from. That's where the problem with mankind. You want to know the problem? It's not political. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. God left Adam in the garden to do the work. God was not looking over his shoulder every minute of the day. He left him there to do the work that he had commanded him to do. Therefore, personal integrity is a must for anyone who's going to be an honest worker. Who's going to be a good worker. For he gives or she gives her best, be it for a nickel or a dime. It doesn't matter. If you agree to work for a nickel a day, then you give your best for a nickel a day. If you agree to work for a dime a day, I know that's a little bit low for today's economy, I get that. But if you agree to work for a dime a day, you should be giving your very best for that dime a day. Instead of cheating yourselves and your employer. Amen, preacher. Get off of your duff and go to work. And give it your best. And maybe if you gave it your best before a holy God, God might give you a better job with better pay. How about that? Well, that's a little bit different. It's been a long time, baby. God wants you to excel. But you can only excel in the plan of God, in God's way. And God will reward. If I had time, I'd take you to Colossians chapter 3 as it talks about not men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, how we should work and go about with our integrity to work and be faithful to do what we've promised to do. The ideal state of man was not one of idleness. Have you ever heard that the idle mind is the devil's workshop? Have you ever heard that? So be careful about AI, which is coming strong. Don't let AI ruin your life. If you can properly use it as a tool to build upon that which is good and given by God, do that. But do not allow it to ruin your life and make you lazy, unwilling to get up and work. Be productive in understanding your proper relationship with Almighty God. So here in this chapter of the Bible, we have a great formula for the work of our hands ordained of God. You know, men should labor. Men should labor well. Labor is healthy. Labor is heavy. Idle life is a dangerous life, and an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Tomorrow's Labor Day. Okay, fine. But you need to understand the role of work. And work's not a bad word. Be thankful you can get up and go to work. There are many people right here who can't, would give anything to be able to go to work. Realize your number one vocation, if you're saved, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're saved. And if you're saved, your number one priority and vocation is to love the Lord and serve Him. It is not to go to your secular job on Tuesday. That's the second work priority. That's not your first. The first is your relationship and walking with the Lord and serving Him and obeying His word. And if you'll do that, God will really open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on your life. If people would just understand it. And even try the Lord. The Lord says, try me, try me, try me. Prove me, and I'll prove it to you. Prove it to me. You say, well, I'd have to be willing to take a risk. That's right, that's called faith. You have to step out. You say, it's been a long time since I stepped out with something like that. Well, tomorrow's a brand new day with no mistakes in it, to quote Anne of Green Gables, which is a pretty good chick flick, and I'm not crazy about chick flicks. But that's a pretty good one, at least the first one. Don't watch the rest of them. Don't waste your time. Let us be mindful of the lessons that are found in Genesis 2 because it's very healthy and happy for us. Very healthy. Now, we got people in this church that are always on my back about eating more healthy. So, today's my turn. And I'm not talking about eating more healthy. I'm talking about living more healthy. You'd be better served eating Doritos following the commands of God than eating a super salad and ignoring God's word. Amen? Amen. Let's stand for prayer.